Morning, my lord.
Ah, Brundle, just the man. Come along here a moment.
I just had a chat with the Thorpe's housekeeper, my lord. I even interviewed some of the schoolchildren. It definitely looks as if someone was at the grave after Lady Thorpe's funeral. The housekeeper's wreath had been all moved around. Most upset she was. And excuse me, my lord. Hope you don't mind my asking, but what exactly are you doing?
I thought you'd never ask, Superintendent. Well, I expect you're puzzled by my appearance in a graveyard carrying a fishing rod and line.
Well, matter of fact, I am, my lord, yes. I thought that Potty Peake was the only person who actually enjoyed sitting around in graveyards.
Well, you're wrong. Are you busy, or have you got time to look at something?
I was going along to talk to Will Thodey, but there's no great hurry for that.
Well, hold this while I attach some lead sinkers.
What in the world are you thinking of catching with that, a whale?
Eels. Unless eels swim deeper than ever plummet sounded.
Eels?
Now, come with me, Superintendent.
Right you are, my lord.
I borrowed the keys of the church from the rector. He'd mislaid them, of course, but they turned up eventually among the clothing cupboard accounts. Now, I'd been chatting with the rector, and he tells me that a complete set of new bell ropes was put in last December. Now, these are old ones. Kept handy in case of sudden catastrophe. Very neatly coiled and stowed. This whopper belongs to Taylor Paul. Lift him out carefully. 80 feet or so of rope is apt to be a bit entangled in if let loose on the world. Bertie Thomas, Dimity, Jubilee, John Jericho's Habayoth. But where is little Gowdy? Where and oh where is she, with her sally cut short and her rope cut long? Where and oh where can she be?
It's a puzzle, my lord.
Oh, there's nothing left in the chest but the leather buffets and a few rags and an oil can. No rope for Gowdy.
What about the stove?
Not in the stove. First thought, of course. If the burying was done on a Saturday, the stoves would be alight, but they'd be banked down for the night, and it would have been deuced awkward if Mr... our friend the sexton...
Mr. Gotobed.
Just so. If Mr. Gotobed had raked out anything unusual on Sunday morning. No, I don't think that was where the rope went. I hope not, anyway. I think the murderer used the rope to carry the body by and didn't remove it till he got to the graveside. Now let's go fishing.
You mean in the well, my lord?
The well.
Now then, up with the cover. Right. Well, half a jiff, we'll sacrifice half a brick to the water gods. Not so very deep. Well, if we lay the ladder over the mouth of the well, we shall get a straight pull. Righty-ho, that's the idea. Now then.
Careful, my lord.
Don't you worry about me, I know what I'm doing. Now, down with the line. Cold, dank and stagnant. Nasty smell too, what? Splosh. There. I've got an eel to catch, oh, catch me. Aha! A bite, Superintendent, a bite. What's the bet in its old boot? Hardly seems heavy enough to be a rope. Never mind, we shall see what we shall see. Up she comes. Hello, 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 what's this? Not a boot, but the next thing to it, a hat. Now then, Super, did you measure the head of the corpse?
Yes, my lord, of course.
Oh, then we shan't need to dig him up again to see if his hat fits. Exhibit one. Put it aside to dry. And down she goes again. I never knew that fishing could be such fun. Never tried it yourself, Super?
Not since I were a boy, my lord. Never seen to have much time for it somehow.
Well, you should make time, you know, make time. You've no idea how soothing it can be for the nerves. Well, let's see if we've got anything this time. Perhaps another fiddler, what? I say, what's this?
Looks like a German sausage.
No, it ain't, by Jove, it's a Sally. Ho, 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 little Gowdy's Sally. And where the Sally is, the rest will be. Ups-a-daisy. Got it. There now, there is your eel super, all of a tangle.
Not all here.
No, probably not.
But this is one of the bits that was used to do the tie-in. He's cut it loose, you see, and left the knots in.
Yes, you better not touch the knots, my lord. They might tell us something about who tied them.
Take care of the knots, and the noose will take care of itself, huh? Yeah. Right you are. Well, here we go again. Let's get the other pieces.
Well, that seems to be the last piece. Not very expert work. Arms and legs tied separately, I'd say. Then the body tied up to something or other and the slack cut off. Well, my lord, this is a very interesting discovery of yours. But it's a bit of a facer, isn't it? Puts rather a different complexion on the crime, eh?
You're right, super. Well, one must face up to things. As the lady said when she went to have hers lifted. What the...
It's Potty Peak. What the devil do you want here, Potty?
Nothing. Oh, I don't want nothing. Who are you going to hang with that there, mister? That's a rope, that is. They got 8 of them hanging in the tower over there. There's number 9 a-coming. And that's a rope to hang 'em by. 8 tailors in the tower, but there ought to be 9. He's waiting for the 9 tailors.
Now go on, hop it. Don't let me catch you hanging round here again.
Good day, sir. Day, mister. I got to feed the pigs. That's Potty's work. Yes, that's right. They pigs did ought to be fed.
Off you go then, Potty.
Morning, sir. Morning, mister.
There. You go telling everybody about this rope he's got hanging on the brain. Ever since he found his mother hanging in the cowhouse when he were a kid. Well, can't be helped. I'll get these things taken along to the station.
Well, Brundle, I shall make my way over to the Ashtons and find out what they made of Will Thoday's behaviour at New Year.
I think that could be most useful, my lord. As for me, I'm going to have another talk with the Thodays themselves. Maybe find out exactly what they were doing on the night that body was dumped in the churchyard. You had a pretty stiff time of it, didn't you, Will? Delirious and all that kind of thing, I'll lay.
Very bad he was that night. Kept on trying to get out of his bed and go to church.
Oh.
He thought they was ringing the peal without him. Though I kept on telling him that was all rung and finished with New Year's Day. Terrible job I had with him. And nobody to help me. Will's brother, Jim, was a great help while he was here. But he had to go back to his ship.
Our mate on a merchantman, didn't he? How's he getting along? You heard from him lately?
We had a postcard last week from Hong Kong, but he didn't say much. He hasn't sent nothing but postcards this voyage.
When do you expect him back?
Not for I don't know when. Not if trade's decent, that is. You see, his ship don't make regular trips. She follows cargoes from port to port, wherever there's anything to be picked up.
So you didn't happen to see anything going on at the church from your bedroom window that night? No lights moving about, nothing of that kind?
I told you I didn't move from Will's bedside all night. He was so ill, if I left him a minute, he'd be throwing the clothes off, trying to get up. When it wasn't the peel, it was that old trouble with the Wilbraham emeralds. He was all muddled up in his head, thinking that dreadful trial was on and he had to stand by me.
That'll do! I won't have you fretting yourself about that old business no more.
I'm not blaming you, Will.
And I won't have nothing more said about it in my house. What do you want to come worrying her this way, Mr. Blundell? She's told you as she don't know a thing about this here chap that was buried. That's all there is to it. What I may have said and done when I was ill don't matter ill or beans.
Not a scrap. No, I'm very sorry such an illusion should have come up, I'm sure. Well, I won't keep you any longer. You can't assist me and that's all there is to it. Now I'll be off and let the youngsters come back to their tea. I know what it's like having children of my own.
Mr. Ashton, I believe you were the good Samaritan who brought poor Will Thoday back from Walbeach the day he was taken ill.
Very fortunate we happened to see him. Very bad weather for a sick man. Dangerous thing, influenza.
Dreadful. Poor man. He was quite reeling with it when he came out of the bank. I said to Mr. Ashton, "How terrible bad poor Will do look, to be sure. I'm sure he's not fit to go home." And sure enough, we hadn't got but a mile or so out of the town when we saw his car drawn up by the side of the road and him quite helpless. Quite helpless. And out of his head he was, counting them notes over and dropping them all over the place. "Now, Will," I said, "just you put them notes back in your pocket and keep quiet. and we'll drive you home.
He was in a bad condition, that's certain.
What he ever wanted to come out for in such weather, I can't think. And I said to Mr. Ashley...
Ah, you make a lot of talk, Maria.
Oh, that's true enough. I do let my tongue run on a bit, I'll allow. His lordship must excuse me.
Not at all. In a quiet place like this, if one doesn't talk about one's neighbours, what is there to talk about? And the Thodys are really your only neighbours, aren't they? I'll be bound when Will was laid up, you did a good bit of the nursing, Mrs. Ashton, right?
Not as much as I'd have liked. My daughter was took ill at the same time. Oh, I managed to run in now and again, of course. But what with being up half the night with my daughter and wondering what...
Now that's interesting. I don't suppose you saw anything strange in the churchyard, did you? Lights moving, anything of that sort?
There now. Always thought as there might be something in that tale as little Rosie Thoday told her parlour.
What tale was that?
Foolish nonsense. Foolish nonsense. Ghosts and whatnot.
Well, anyway, it was a good time ago now. When would that be, Luke? End of January, maybe, near enough? Well, call it end of January. Our Paula comes on the Thoday children sitting together under their hedge just outside their place. Both of them crying. Then it comes out that they're afraid to go past the churchyard in the dark. And Rosa Thoday says it's because she's seen what she took to be the spirit of Lady Thorpe flitting about her grave. And it seems the night she see it was the night of the funeral.
Oh, dear me. What exactly did she see?
Oh, no more than a light by what Paula could make out. That was one of the nights Will thought it was very bad, and it seems that Rosa was up and about helping her Martha, and she looked out of the window and sees the light just arising out of where the grave would be. Well, of course, our Paula told Rosie couldn't have been Lady Thorpe's spirit, for that were at rest. And she said Rosie must have seen the sexton's lantern. But it couldn't well have been that, for by what the child said, it was 1 o'clock in the morning past that Rosie see the light. Dear me and all, I'm sure if I'd have known then what I know now, I'd have paid more attention to her.
Lord Peter, would you like a glass of milk or a whiskey and soda or a cup of beef tea?
No, thank you, Mrs. Venable. It was most kind of you.
Oh, dear. What are those? Oh, they're...
undergarments, Mrs. Venables. The undergarments worn by the unfortunate man found in Lady Thorpe's grave. Now, there is something very curious about them, Mrs. Venables.
Yes?
You see, the underclothing is French. But the shirt and trousers are English. What's more, the underclothes have been repaired and darned many times. Look, patches have been let in here and here.
Well, people have to make economies.
Ah, indeed. But why should Nobby Cranton, if it was Nobby Cranton, be wearing what appears to be second-hand French underclothing, but new English outer garments?
I'm sure I don't know. I only hope you won't catch anything from them. I'm sure they can't be healthy.
No, I don't expect to get anything worse than brain fever. Well, perhaps you can suggest an explanation.
Well, I'm afraid I'm not a Sherlock Holmes. I should think the man must have had a very good, hard-working wife, but I can't say more.
But that doesn't explain why he should get his underclothes in France.
The only thing I can think of is that he got his English clothes as a disguise. You said he came here in disguise, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
But of course, as nobody would see his underneaths, he didn't bother to change them.
But that would mean that he came from France.
Oh, perhaps he did. Perhaps he was a Frenchman. They often wear beards, don't they?
Yeah, but the man I met wasn't a Frenchman.
But you don't know he was the man you met. He may have been someone quite different.
Well, he may.
He didn't bring any other clothes with him, I suppose.
No, not a thing. He was just a tramping out of work, or so he said. All he brought was an old British trench coat, which he took with him, and a toothbrush. He left that behind him. Can we wangle a bit of evidence out of that, you think? Can we say that he must have been murdered because, well, if he'd merely wandered away, you'd have taken his toothbrush with him? And if he was the corpse, where is his coat? For the corpse had no coat.
I can't imagine. And that reminds me...
Do be careful when you go down the bottom of the garden. The rooks are building and they are so messy. I should wear a hat if I were you. Or there's always an old umbrella in the summer house. Did he leave his hat behind, too?
In a sense he did, yes. We found that in rather a queer place, but it doesn't help us very much.
Oh, how tiresome it all is. I'm sure you'll wear your brains right out with these problems. You mustn't overdo yourself. And the butcher says he has some nice calves' liver today, only I don't know if you can eat it.
I love calves' liver, Mrs. Venables.
Oh, good. Theodore is very fond of liver and bacon, though I always think it's rather rich. I've been meaning to say, it's very good of that nice man-servant of yours to clean the silver and the brass so beautifully, but he really shouldn't have troubled. I'm quite used to giving Emily a hand with it.
He'd have been delighted to help, I'm sure.
Oh, well, I hope it isn't very dull for him here. I understand he's a great acquisition in the kitchen and extraordinarily good at music hall imitations. Twice as good as the Talkies cook says.
Is he indeed? I had no idea. But what I don't know about Bunter, Mrs. Venables, would fill a book.
Bunter, will you kindly get the car out immediately and accompany me on a short journey?
Very good, my lord. There is a fresh breeze, my lord.
All the better.
Certainly, my lord. If I may venture to say so, the tweed cap or the grey felt would possibly be better suited to the climatic conditions.
Yes, possibly all right, Bunter. Pray restore this excellent hat to its proper place. And if you should see Mrs. Venables, give her my compliments and say that I found its protection invaluable.
Of course, my lord.
Oh, and Bunter, I rely on you to keep a check upon your Don Juan fascination and not strew the threshold of friendship with the wreckage of broken hearts.
Very good, my lord.
Now, we're going to try a long shot, Bunter, and we will begin with the small town of Leamholt. Well, what news, Bunter?
The three young ladies in the post office conducted a most careful search, but I regret, my lord, that they could find no letter awaiting collection by a Mr. Stephen Driver.
Ah, well, never mind. Leamholt is the post town, so I thought we ought to give it the first chance. The other possibilities are Hullport and Walbeach on this side of the drain. Hullport is a long way off and rather unlikely. So I think we will try Walbeach. It's a direct road from here. At least as direct as any Fen Road ever is. I suppose God could have made a sillier animal than a sheep, but it's very certain that he never did. Unless it's a cow. Come on there. Hop, 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 hey, hop. Oh, get along with you, Jemima. Hop, hop, hey. Now, if this place had been drained intelligently by running all the canals into the rivers instead of the rivers into the canals, Walbeach might still be a port and the landscape would look rather less like a crazy quilt.
Just so, my lord.
Ah, here's the place we met Cranton. If it was Cranton, that is. By the way, I wonder if that fellow at the sluice saw anything of it.
Shall I?
Yeah, let's stop and find out. I love dawdling around locks. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Very picturesque. Very pretty. Do you ever get artists and painters along here to paint it?
Well, I don't know as I do. No.
Yeah. Some of those piers would be none the worse for a bit of stone and mortar, what? And the gates look pretty ancient.
Ah, I believe you. Now, this here sluice has been needing repairs over a matter of 20 years now, and more.
Then why don't they do it?
Well, nobody knows whose job this here sluice is. Seemingly.
But suppose you've got a lot of water up this way. Would the gates stand it?
Well, they might and they mightn't. We don't get much water up here these days.
You will, though, when they finish the new wash cut.
Ah, so they say. I don't know. Some say it won't be no different. And some say it'll drown the land round about Walbeach.
It seems ridiculous not to rebuild the gates. With all this unemployment about, too. Do you get many of the unemployed tramping around this way?
Times we do, times we don't.
I remember meeting a chap along the bank last time I was down here on New Year's Day. I thought he looked a bit of a tough nut.
Oh, him? Yes, well, he got took on at Ezra Wilderspin's place, but he soon had enough of that. Didn't want to do no work. Half on him don't.
I suppose he'd come from Walbeach.
I suppose I had, yes. He said so anyhow. Said he'd been trying to get work on the washcut.
Did he? He told me he was a motor mechanic.
Ah, well, they'd say anything.
He looked as if he'd worked a good bit with his hands. Why shouldn't there be work for men on the cut? That's what I was saying.
Yes, sir. Well, that's easy to say them things.
Well, I still think they ought to be able to absorb some of these men and give you a fresh set of gates. However, it's none of my business, and I'll have to push them along. Good luck to you.
Good day. New gates. Ah. New gates. Huh. Right.
Let us continue on our way to Walbeach, where my intuition may or may not bear fruit. You, Bunter, will once again be in the vanguard, while I shall sit in the car and contemplate the joys of life in the Fen country.
Yes, my lord. Very good, my lord.
What luck this time, old lad?
Quickly, my lord.
What's up?
Better move on quickly, my lord, because while the manoeuvre has been attended with a measure of success, it is possible that I have robbed His Majesty's mails by obtaining a packet under false pretences.
What have you been doing, Butter?
Well, my lord, I inquired as instructed for a letter addressed to Mr. Stephen Driver, post-restaurant, which might have been lying here some time. When the young person inquired how long a time, I replied, according to our previous arrangement, that I had intended to visit Walbeach a few weeks ago, but had been prevented from doing so, so that I understood that an important letter had been forwarded to me at this address under a misapprehension.
Very good, Bunter. All according to Cocker.
The young person, my lord, then opened a species of safe or locker and searched in it, and after the expiration of a considerable period, turned round with a letter in her hand and inquired what name I had said.
Yes, these girls are very bird-witted. It would have been more surprising if she hadn't asked you to repeat the name.
Quite so, my lord. I said, as before, that the name was Stephen or Steve Driver. But at the same time, I observed from where I was standing that the letter in her hand bore a blue stamp. There was only the counter between us, and as you are well aware, my lord, I am favoured with excellent sight.
Let us always be thankful for blessings, Bunter.
I hope I may say that I always am, my lord. On seeing the blue stamp, I added quickly, calling to mind the circumstances of the case, that the letter had been posted in France.
Very good indeed.
The young person, my lord, appeared to be puzzled by this remark. She said in a doubtful tone that there was a letter from France which had been lying in the post office, but it was addressed to another person.
Oh, hell.
Yes, my lord. That thought passed through my own mind. I said, are you quite sure, miss, that you have not mistaken the handwriting? I'm happy to say, my lord, that the young person, being young and no doubt inexperienced, succumbed to this somewhat elementary strategy. She answered immediately, oh, no, it's as plain as print. M. Paul Taylor. At that point...
Paul Taylor? Why, that was the name of the man Driver said he was looking for.
Precisely, my lord. As I was about to say, at that point, it was necessary to act promptly. I said at once... Paul Taylor, why, that is the name of my chauffeur. No disrespect, my lord, but in the momentary agitation of my spirits, my lord, I was not in a position to think as quickly or as clearly as I should have wished.
Bunter, I warn you that I'm growing dangerous. Will you say at once, yes or no, did you get that letter?
Yes, my lord, I did.
Ah, excellent, Bunter. Well, it's all very illegal either way, but we'll get Blundell to put it right for us. I'd have suggested his doing it himself, but it was such a shot at a venture that I didn't think he'd gotten to it. And I didn't have a devil of a lot of faith in it myself. Anyway, it was my jolly old idea, and I wanted us to have the fun of it ourselves.
My lord, I really...
Now, don't start apologizing anymore, Bunter. You are perfectly brilliant in two places, and I am as bucked as hell.
Oh, well, thank you very much, my lord.
And under the circumstances, we are now going straight to the Cat and Fiddle, where the port is remarkable and the claret not to be despised, to celebrate our deed of darkness and daring do.
It may, of course, not be...
Not the right letter? Rot. It is the right letter, Bunter. It's damn well got to be the right letter.